think of how many strangers you encounter in a day, in a week, in a year. Hundreds, thousands. You just never know which one might change your life. Tonight, we will hear two stories where people's lives were changed forever by a chance encounter with a stranger harboring ill intentions. Good evening, and welcome to another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
This happened a few years ago, when I was 13. I was somewhat popular in school at the time, and I had around four very, very close friends. Rose, Lynn, Noah, and Zach were the main ones. We went on many adventures around that time. Camping, road trips, the beach. Noah's family was pretty wealthy, and all of our families were pretty lenient with rules. One day the summer before 8th grade, we went on a camping trip with Lynn's older sister Margot and Zach's older brother Todd. So there were seven of us. Lynn, Zach, and I were 13. Noah and Rose were 14. And Margot and Todd were both 17. We decided to go camping in a nearby forest, around 20 miles from Noah's house. It was pretty much in the middle of nowhere. Noah's house and his neighborhood were the closest homes, and there were no signals for phones or any electronics. We get to the spot easily and without problems, and we make camp. The girls in one tent, the boys in another. Maybe it was a bad idea to have 17s ages 13 to 17 with no phone in the woods, but our parents were lenient like that, and like I said, they were confident we would be fine since the woods were not known for anything bad or dangerous. So we set up the tents, go swimming in a nearby lake, and come back to make dinner over a fire which was about 20 feet away from the tents, which were 4 feet away from each other, by the way. So we have s'mores and do all the stupid camping things before Lynn and Margot announce that they are going to go to sleep. That left Todd, Rose, Zach, Noah, and I as we joked around and told scary stories and just overall had a good time. Then Margot walks up annoyed and tells us that whoever is messing with the side of the tent to stop it. Keep in mind, no one left the group. The tents were far enough away to not bother anyone in the other tents. She explained that someone keeps touching on the side of the tent, running something on it, and we dismiss her. Todd says that it's probably a tree branch, and Rose and I decide to go to sleep as well. So we head back to the tent. Lynn is asleep, and we settle in, me closest to the opening of the tent, Margot next to Lynn, who is at the opposite side of the tent, and Rose in between Margot and I. I managed to fall asleep easily, within 5 minutes. Until I woke up suddenly for what seemed like no reason. I checked my phone. I had still brought it and a portable charger just to take photos. And it was literally the middle of the night, at 2:15. I looked around, my eyes getting used to the darkness, trying to figure out why I woke up. A tapping sound on the tent was what I first noticed, and a soft giggling. It sounded somewhat deep, like a male voice, but I couldn't be sure. After what felt like an hour, but was probably a minute or two, the tapping and the giggling stopped. I was convinced that it was my imagination, or maybe one of the boys trying to prank us, or even a tree branch, like Todd suggested earlier. Telling myself it was a tree branch and lack of sleep, I fell back asleep until Rose woke me up around dawn. Everyone was awake, and we decided to hike a little. We decided to go in two groups because we planned on spending the night again and we didn't want anyone messing with our stuff. Even though these woods weren't popular with camping, we didn't want to risk it. Margot, Lynn, Rose, and I left to go hiking for a couple of hours while the boys opted to stay behind and fish, swim, and cook food. We hiked for about 2 hours and we came back to the boys not at the campsite. Annoyed, Margot went down to the lake with Lynn to find them. Rose and I made our way back to the tents, and I'll be honest and say I screamed and almost wet my pants. The tents were slashed. I inspected it closer after regaining composure because I was usually the more collected one of the two of us. It seemed made with a small knife, as the cuts were small. Our tents were made of material that was pretty hard to cut into, and it seemed like the person had a pocket knife, I guessed. The boys, Margot and Lynn, came running to our screams and were obviously startled. We decided to pack up and head home early because, for one, the tents were ripped too much for us to use again comfortably, and two, Rose, Lynn, and I were very creeped out. Even more so when Todd announced that his tires were slashed. We were all freaking out, obviously. There was no cell service. Todd's tires were slashed, and there was no way any of us wanted to stay any longer. Luckily, Todd reported that Margot's tires looked fine, and Margot stated that she would take Noah and Lynn and drop them off to call 911 and their parents and come back for us. She drove a car, and there wasn't enough room for more than three people, as the back was filled up with the camping stuff. Zach, Todd, Rose, and I were left at the campgrounds, and we decided to begin a hike back towards the main road so Margot wouldn't have to drive so far. Also, Rose and I refused to stay anywhere near the camp area. We began hiking. My phone died. The last time I looked at it, it was 1 in the afternoon. Zach and Rose both had working phones and constantly updated us on how far we had been walking. I began to hear branches snapping from behind us, closer to the trees than we walked, and I got more and more paranoid as time went on. I told Todd, and he seemed to get more wary of our surroundings, constantly looking over his shoulder. We had been walking for about 30 minutes. Margot was probably at Noah's house or almost there when Todd screamed,
"Run!"
Naturally, I looked behind my shoulder before I began running. Three hooded figures were running towards us. Two had knives, and they all looked around 6'3" or taller. Todd was 6'1", but I doubted he could defend all of us against them. Even though it was broad daylight, I couldn't make out any facial features. They all appeared over or around 200 pounds. The shortest one was probably 6'2", but they all wore hoods and had masks on, like ski masks. It sounds totally fake, and I don't care if you don't believe me, but I was scared shitless that day. We began running, and the three guys finally gave up, or decided we weren't worth terrorizing, because we lost them. We made it to the main road where we waited, walking quickly, constantly looking over our shoulders in fear until Margot arrived. We told the police everything. They searched the woods nearby, but they never found any evidence we had been there, or the guys were there, or that anything had happened besides our pictures of the lake and around the area and the shredded tents. I don't know what would have happened if they had caught us. I'm fairly tall. I was around 5'10" during this time, only around 125 pounds. Rose was around 5'1" and 100 pounds, and Zach was barely 5'9" at the time. He probably outweighed me by 10 pounds maximum. I'm so thankful that I told Todd about them. I have no doubt they would have been able to catch us if he hadn't been looking over his shoulder constantly. And I'm so thankful we all got physical activity regularly, were fast enough to outrun them, and that they gave up. So, whoever you guys were, let's never meet. This happened back in 2012 when I was 15. There's a youth center in my city that used to do annual camping trips to Sweden. Me and my two friends Sarah and Michelle decided to go. The campground was set with an office and a kiosk at the entrance, and all of the caravans and tents behind it. In front of the office was a giant parking lot so that you would have to cross it to get over to the showers and the bathrooms. The office was located in one corner, and the bathrooms in the opposite corner furthest away. There were three male teachers with us on this trip, all in their mid-20s. Every day they would take us to a supermarket nearby in case we wanted something that the kiosk didn't sell. While we were in line to pay, we noticed a guy, probably in his early 20s. He was dressed in black cargo pants, big leather boots, and a leather jacket, despite it being over 30 degrees Celsius. But the most noticeable thing about him was his hair, or lack thereof. He had no hair, no eyebrows, no eyelashes. He looked like he had gone through some chemotherapy. We kind of felt sorry for him because he was so young, and we talked about him on our way back. When we finally got back, we hung out a bit, just chilling in the lake, before we went to the kiosk to buy something to drink, where we saw the guy again. We thought it was a coincidence. Even though there weren't that many people on the campsite, he could have very well been living there. Later that afternoon, Sarah had to use the bathroom, and because it was so far away and slightly deserted, me and Michelle went with her. There was a bench and a table just outside the cabin that held the bathrooms, and guess who was sitting there? The same guy from earlier. He was sitting there with three friends, two girls and a guy. And when we got close enough, he stood up and looked like he wanted to say something. Sarah and Michelle, who have always been a bit paranoid, sped up and went into the bathroom. But I hung back a bit and asked if he wanted anything. He looked after my friends and started shaking his head no and sat back down. I kind of stood there for a couple of seconds because he looked so sad before joining my friends. Me and Michelle sat in the changing room adjacent to the bathroom, and after a couple of minutes, one of the girls from outside came in and started talking to us in Swedish. Even though the Scandinavian languages are similar to each other, it can still be hard to understand, so we spent a couple of minutes explaining that we weren't Swedish before she started speaking broken English. She told us that her friend, the bald guy, was very shy, and if we just wanted to go speak with him for a couple of minutes. Now, we were three girls in a foreign country, and he was at least a couple of years older than us. We did not want to speak with them, and we told her this. She was talking with us for more than 20 minutes. In the beginning, she just wanted us to speak with him. Then she wanted one of us to go to his tent with him. By this point, she was very frantic and kept switching from Swedish to English, so it was kind of hard to understand. But she said in Swedish,
"You just need to sleep with him. If you won't do it with him, he'll do it to me."
At this point, Sarah was finally done in the bathroom and came out to see what was happening. The girl looked like she was about to cry and left the room. Sarah wanted to see who it was, so we all looked out of the little window, and I am so glad that we did. We saw the girl say something to the guy. He looked over at the bathroom door, slammed his fists onto the table, got up, and walked over to the door. We did not know what to do, because he was blocking the only exit, so we all went into the little bathroom and locked the door. We heard the guy knocking on the door to the changing room, and we all held our breath. After a while, he knocked again, but we still kept quiet, not even moving. After a while, we heard the door open, but he was clearly trying to be quiet. He slowly walked towards the bathroom door, and all we could hear was the heavy sound of his boots on the floor. He sat down just outside the door and just sat there. For 45 minutes, we could hear his heavy breathing on the other side of the door. For those 45 minutes, we didn't care about how much noise we made. He already knew we were there. We tried to find the number for the Swedish police, but we didn't have any service on our phones because we were in a different country and we didn't have our teachers' numbers, so we couldn't call them. So we just sat there panicking for the most part. Suddenly, he got up, kicked the door, and walked outside again. We were dead quiet and didn't move for another 10 minutes, scared that he was trying to lure us out. All of a sudden, the door opened again, and we could hear someone fumbling with it. Something. Either keys or some kind of tool. We were afraid that he had found something to open the door with, but then we remembered that there was this little box that you would put money into to get the shower started. We asked who it was, and someone responded,
"The janitor."
Or something. I was kind of in shock, so I didn't listen properly. We took a chance and slowly opened the door, ready to close it again quickly if it was him. The man on the other side wasn't the same guy, though, as he was at least 60 years old. We asked him if he saw the other guy, and he told us that he had told him to leave, as he had seen him leave the girls' changing room. We thanked the man and started walking towards the office. There we met the owner, and she quickly got our teachers there. We were all very shocked, so it was hard to get the words out. But in the end, we managed to tell our teachers what had happened. All the teachers were outraged, and two of them immediately left to see if they could find the guy. That night, the police came to talk to us and told us that sleep with in Swedish means the exact same things it does in English, and the fact that the girl said that he was going to do it to her really showed his intentions. The police never found the guy, but we discovered that the two teachers that went back to look for him did find him. We overheard a conversation between the teachers, and apparently they had threatened him so bad he almost cried. I understand why. The teachers were both quite tall and strong. For the longest time after, I still got the creeps every time I saw a bald guy. So, creeper who might have had cancer, let's not meet again. A huge thanks to our contributors from tonight, Panic Fandom Mixer and Starlight Rivers. If you have a story you'd like to hear narrated, I would love to do so. Please email me at nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast and would like to support it, you can do so by subscribing, liking, commenting, reviewing, and please also share us with your friends. I greatly appreciate it. I love interacting with the listeners as well. I have my social media listed in the description below. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, stay safe.